Session 4, Rest, the Pleasure of His Perspective. Some years ago, I was teaching a Bible class, and I'd read from the book of Ephesians, where it talked about us being seated in Christ in the heavenlies. And a person said from the Bible study, but that's God's perspective, that's God's view. And I said, of course, that is the perspective or the view that God wants us to have. He wants us to have His view of things and to see us here and now on earth, connected to heaven, seated in Christ. And that is a problem with some believers. They look at the Bible and they only read it from a here and now perspective, an earthly perspective, where God wants us to have His view of us. For example, we may always talk about ourselves as sinners, but we find the Apostle Paul again and again addresses the people in the Bible as saints, the saints in Corinth, the saints in Ephesus, the saints in Thessalonica, and so forth. He greets them as saints. Does that mean they are perfect? Not at all. But from God's perspective, He sees us in Christ as saintly and holy. When we lose God's perspective on life, we get discouraged and despondent. And this happens again and again, as we'll see with our subject now as we turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm going to ask Lois to read verses 1 through 13. That is 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 through 13, as we talk about session 4, Rest, the Pleasure of God's Perspective.
Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
Some years ago, my good friend Tom, who I refer to every once in a while, came alongside of me, and we were doing more than study the Bible now. I found that I needed to meet with him every couple of weeks and just tell what was going on as I was a pastor, what was going on in the church and so forth. And he used this phrase quite often, Jim, you lose perspective. And what he meant by this is I lost God's perspective on a number of things. Negative things would happen in the church, and I would focus on those things, and I would more or less be like Job or like Elijah here and say, woe is me. Everything is going bad. But when I talked with Tom and I said, well, this happened, and that happened, and then he'd say, you know, that's pretty good. I bet a lot of pastors, I would guess that many pastors wish they had the good things going on that you have going on. I would say, really? And he would listen to me further, and I would talk on, and he would say, you know, that's really wonderful, Jim. That's amazing. God is working. And I couldn't see God working on my own until he pointed it out to me and helped me gain perspective. I needed help. I needed a friend to come alongside of me and give me God's view again, because when negative things happened, I began to look at those negative things and dwell only on them. And I became discouraged and lost heart. I needed such a friend as Tom to help me see the scriptures, to see God's point of view again and again. Later on, as I began to read scriptures, I found that Bible characters often lost perspective too. I wasn't alone. Some of God's finest servants in the Bible lost perspective and got discouraged. In fact, you could look almost anywhere. You could find it in David's Psalms. You could find it in a number of places where God's people lost perspective. Well, let's look at one character who lost his perspective, and it's Elijah in this text that we've just looked at. And we're going to use a Bible study method again, where we're going to seek out key repeated words and phrases. And we're going to see if we can identify a verse or two that best summarizes the passage. And then we're going to write a summary sentence that describes the passage. So after hearing it read now, let's look at this text and note what is repeated. And I've helped you out this afternoon by using different colors. We find here that the word Lord occurs again and again in this text about Elijah. I have been talking with the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Again, verse 9, the word of the Lord came upon him. And then we have a segment that is repeated, a couple of times. God asks the question, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replies with this phrase, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. He doesn't say this just once, but he does it twice, a repetition. And again, you find the word, the Lord said, the Lord, the Lord. God is front and center. And of course, if we're going to get God's perspective, he needs to be the Lord, who's front and center. As we talked about our Copernican revolution, he needs to be the center, the focus. And this is going to help Elijah get focus as he hears the word Lord and the word of the Lord again and again. Well, there you find the same question that is asked by the voice of God. What are you doing here, Elijah? And again, he repeats the same phrases about he's very zealous for the Lord and so forth. And again, you find the words go a couple of times. That is very key in this text, that the Lord God Almighty tells him to go. And he eventually does go. So we get an oversight, an overview of this particular text. We will come back to parts of it a little later on, and we get the picture. I made a summary sentence of this passage that has been read, and my effort sounds like this. This is what I present to you as a summary sentence. When we are weary, not just Elijah or other Bible characters, but when we get weary, because we get weary too, at least I do. When we are weary and in need of correction, the Lord satisfies or refreshes us. The Lord refreshes us, renews our perspective, and sends us on a new mission. We get weary, we have to have a correction from God. He refreshes us, renews our view of things, so we see things a bit more clearly as He sees them, and then He sends us on a new mission.
We strive to serve the contemporary Christian community with a variety of Christian educational and evangelistic resources. To see TVS Seminary's database, please visit tvsseminary.com.
Well, let's take a look at this. Throughout history, many of God's most remarkable servants have suffered from a loss of perspective. Take, for instance, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he met Jesus at the Jordan River, and Jesus came down to be baptized by him. And immediately, John looked at Jesus, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John had God's view of things, and immediately the heavens were open, and it was heard, the voice, the thundering voice of God, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." John's perspective was so crisp and clear. He immediately said the right thing. "Look, behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world." Now, for a long time, I thought it strange that later on in John's life, when he's put in prison, he had heard about Jesus and what wonderful things he was doing. He was preaching, he was teaching, he was healing, he was casting out demons. And you'd think with all that evidence, John would not have said something like this or asked the question, "Are you the one, Jesus, who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? John, what's the matter with you?" Back in John, the book of John, you said right away upon seeing Jesus, "Look, it's the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world." But now he's in prison, and he has a view that is clouded and dark and dreary. Well, I wouldn't have understood this as well had I not been to Israel once upon a time. And we had a guide there who pointed out the geographical significance, the lay of the land, and how it flowed with the Bible verses. And we came to what's called a cistern, which is hewed out of rock, cut out of rock, and down into the solid rock, whatever form it is. They would cut down, sometimes it was naturally done by the flow of rain or whatever else. But anyway, there was a hole in the ground carved out of rock. And it wasn't just a few inches or a few feet, but it was several feet down to the ground. And I looked down there, and it was dark and dingy and smelly. And he said, this often was the case, as in the case of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man who certainly lost perspective at times as well. He became the lamenting, the weeping prophet. Well, no wonder. It says that they lowered him down into a cistern, and there wasn't water in it, but there was mud. And could you imagine being lowered in such a place, and all you would see is that circle of light, maybe the size of a manhole cover, a circle of light, and it'd be so dark, and if somebody didn't give you water, you didn't have any water. If someone didn't remember to drop some breadcrumbs, you didn't have anything. You could get hungry, and you could starve. You could easily die. And we won't even talk about the filth that would result of being in such a place. Well, possibly John was in such a cistern, a dry well. Or even if he wasn't just being in prison. I think John is an example of losing perspective. And Jesus isn't mean to him in saying, "What's the matter with you, John? You got it right once. Now you're thinking like you're in a hole in the ground or something." You've lost perspective. No, he doesn't chew him out. He simply says, these things are happening. Wonderful things are happening. And so John needed an encouraging word because he had lost perspective. And that's John the Baptist. And Jesus gave it to him. Now, it's interesting to note that John was said to have come in the spirit of Elijah, the power and spirit of Elijah. His predecessor was Elijah. And Elijah himself lost perspective, as we have just read. Keep in mind that the day before, he had faced the prophets of Baal, some 400 of them, and he called down fire on the altar. And the altar was lit aflame after water had been poured on it several times. And it was a victorious. It seemed that Elijah alone stood against all the prophets of Baal and all the evil of the land. And he showed that God was God because God answered his prayer and came down and put the altar with an animal, dead animal on it, and water all around. It didn't matter if it was wet or dry. It came into flame, the miracle of the Lord, and God showed that Elijah was right and God was with Elijah.